Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Right? And so the question becomes, how do we walk with God in a way that we can hear his voice and sense his presence? I mean, our prayer is that already today in this place you've sensed his presence. But I realize probably not everybody has. Why is that? We have to understand that being a Christian and loving the Lord is not necessarily the same as walking close to God, to where you are sensitive to his promptings, where you are hearing his voice, where you are in tune with his direction for your life. As Christians, this becomes a part of our maturing process. This is how we grow in our faith. It's a spiritual discipline. It's a discipline to be developed, and cultivating a still and quiet heart can be difficult, can't it? I mean, who likes silence? After a few seconds of silence, just sitting in this room and looking and staring at each other, we would start squirming. Some of you would be like, man, just put me on the catapult, get me out of here, because I don't like that. But how do we do that? How do we develop this quiet heart? How do we come to a place where we sense the presence of the Lord? Isaiah chapter 40, if you would go there, is a very familiar passage of scripture, but that's what our key text for the day is. But there's several passages of scripture that we could draw from today. Passages like Psalms 23, if you'd throw that one up there. In Psalms 23, verse 2, it says this: he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. The Lord gives us rest. In verse 3, the psalmist says this: he restores my soul. In Psalms 46:10, we read this, that be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I'm God. It's interesting, as you look at the whole psalm there, it's a pressure-packed psalm, because he's experiencing a pressure-packed life like many of us experience and live day to day. But the counsel he closes the psalm with is this: that there is a place of peace for you. Psalms 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourselves over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. A place to be still. Place of peace. A place where, even though things are chaotic around you, even though pain is very present in your life, that you can have stillness of heart, quietness of heart, and a confidence of heart that says, God is with me. How do you arrive there? Having that type of a heart that can hear the voice of the Lord, that can sense his presence, is key. A part of the way that is found, of having this still heart, is by this. The first thing that I want to talk to you about is, a still heart starts with a good theology. Now, that may sound really boring and like, man, that you just give us a plate of saltines and let's eat it without drinking water, because that doesn't sound very exciting. But I want you to track with me this morning, because this is absolutely huge. Understanding who God is, that's what theology is all about. What God is like, understanding his place in the universe and in our life. A.W. Tozer said this: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. We're able to extract from any man a complete answer to that question. What comes into your mind when you think about God? We might predict with certainty the spiritual future of that man. So true. Jesus said this when he was beginning his ministry on earth, Matthew chapter 6, The disciples are wanting to know how to pray. And Jesus says this, hey, this is how you pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, God, you are holy. God, you are amazing. God, you are majestic. God, you are incredible. And Jesus is saying, that's what hallowed means. God, you are beyond anything that I can fathom or imagine. You are good. You are amazing. You are beyond our comprehension. You are holy. You're righteous. But you're my Father. Good theology brings us to a deeper faith. When we know who God is, it helps us to walk with him in our life. It helps us to walk through life with this confidence and with this courage. Isaiah chapter 40, if you're there, say uh-huh. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25, look at it with me. To whom then will I compare, to whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Look at it in verse 25. This is the prophet Isaiah is having this conversation with God. Israel is in a predicament. They've been in a time frame now when they look behind them, they know their despair and what they've come out of. When they look before them and what's coming, they know that they're in trouble because there's not a whole lot of hope. And God says this, compare me. Compare me to other gods. Compare me to what society has to offer. Compare me to what you're facing. Compare me. And then he breaks into this example of his greatness. Look into the heavens. Look into the stars. Look into creation. See, the Bible is the written revelation of God, and if the Bible is the written revelation of God, then creation is the natural revelation of God. When you look at the heavens, you get this understanding of who God is and how great God is and how awesome God is. The psalmist said this in Psalms 19, 1 and 2. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day, pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. I mean, the other night, I was in Kansas City for 3 days, Wednesday through Friday, at a training thing for police chaplains. And as I sat through that, just kind of thinking about situations, thinking about things going on in my own life, thinking about things going on in our nation, I was on the phone talking with Caleb, and it went out. It was about 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock. It felt like it was midnight. It wasn't that late. But anyway, I went outside on my in-law's back porch, and talking to Caleb, and I just began to look up into the heavens. I was just like, man, wow, that's incredible. God, you are awesome. And just having this conversation with myself, because day to day it pours out speech. Night to night it reveals knowledge. Psalms 147:7 says this, God counts the stars and calls them by name. Isaiah says, think about the greatness and the vastness of God. Think about all that is happening right now, even as you sit here. Think about that. I mean, throw those pictures up real quick. Just picture the size of the planets. This first picture here throws all the planets up there, and Earth is the bottom left one, the little small globe, and then you have Jupiter, which is this massive, and Neptune, and Pluto. I don't know what they've decided on Pluto because it got excommunicated for a while there, but you know, all these planets, right? The next one is Earth compared to did I not put that one in there? But you compare Earth to Jupiter. And just the immense, it's just like crazy. And then you look at Jupiter and Wolf 359 to the sun. The sun is the middle one, and then you have Sirius. And it's just like, wow, we thought we were a big deal. And it gets smaller and smaller, and you can go on and on to the various slides, and you see, you know, Beetlejuice, and Beetlejuice is just enormous. And go to the next one. And then we're just like, man, where are we? We don't even line up. We're not even on there in the scope of how massive our universe is. I mean, the speed of light travels at 186,000 miles per second. The moon, with that speed, 1.3 seconds for light to get from Earth to the moon. The sun, when you step out today, that rays that hits your face, 8 minutes old. Across the length of our solar system, a ray of light, 10 hours. That's all. Man, it takes like that long to get across Kansas, doesn't it? Feels like it sometimes. One light year is 186,000 miles per second for a year. For our sun to the center of our galaxy is 30,000 light years. Are you feeling small? Travel across our Milky Way galaxy, 100,000 light years. The nearest galaxy of comparable size to our Milky Way galaxy is the Andromeda Galaxy. To travel there, it would take 2.7 million light years. I can't even wrap my mind around that. The Milky Way galaxy contains 100 billion stars. Over 2 million galaxies have been counted in our visible universe. Scientists say that there could be as many as 100 million galaxies in the visible universe. The visible universe is 15 million light years in size. All that is what scientists would call the known universe, which means there's a lot of unknown universe. You feel small? It tells us something about the greatness of God. Tells us something about the power of God. The God that we sang about this morning created those stars. He calls them by name, and not one of them is missing. How awesome and how amazing is that? I mean, President Teddy Roosevelt had a friend who was a naturalist, William Beebe, and routinely they would go outside after having dinner. The sky would be dark, and him and Beebe would go out, and they would locate a faint spot of light in the lower left corner of Pegasus and recite the following. Now think, this is a president of the United States and all that responsibility that he would have, and how many of you would want that job, right? All the some of you are like, yeah, man, I could do better than what they're doing right now. But he goes out there, and he looks up in this lower left corner of Pegasus, and they recited this. This is the spiral galaxy of Andromeda. It is as large as our Milky Way. It is one of 100 million galaxies. It is 750,000 light years away. It consists of 100 billion suns, each larger than our own sun. Roosevelt records would pause, and he would grin, and he would look at his friend. All the responsibilities of carrying a nation and leading a nation, smiling and grinning, and would look at William and would say these words, "Now, I think we feel small enough. Let's go to bed." There's some good advice there, isn't there? Why lift up your eyes and see? Because if all you gaze upon is the ceilings of your situations, the ceilings of your problems, the ceiling of your understanding, those things become your ceilings that obscure your vision from how awesome and how big God is. Verse 26 says this, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, who brings them out their host by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not missing, not one is missing." When you see this, then really the issue becomes this. And you look at life through this lens, the issue isn't how big our problem is. The issue is how big our God is. When you understand how big he is, then what really compares to him? And that's not to minimize anything that any of us face, but the key to having a still heart is understanding the grandeur and majesty and power and the greatness of this God that you are worshiping this morning. Amen? No wonder the prophet Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing. He can handle your problem. He can handle my problem. Not only is he big enough to create the universe, but he's also personable enough to care about you. And that's really one of the challenges, isn't it? I mean, you step out under the canopy of heaven and you see the grandeur and you see everything and you know the situations that you're facing. And some of us have had this thought, well, man, I can't ask God about that because he's not going to care about that. And there's this disconnect. He is so big. Why would he possibly care about me? Look at it, verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you ever felt that way? The message puts it this way. Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. God cares about every aspect of your life. You may believe that, or you may not believe that. But Scripture declares that that would be true. I mean, you have Jesus saying, listen, God cares about the sparrow, but he cares more about you. He cares so much more about you. In Matthew chapter 10, he knows the number of hair upon your head or lack thereof, but he cares about you. He is that interested in every single person. The psalmist put it this way in Psalms 37, 23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. God is powerful enough to create the universe, but yet he's personal enough to care about you. He cares about your joys. He cares about your sorrows. He knows and he cares. And when we understand that, when we understand the greatness of our God and how personal our God is, it will make our heart at peace with God. It's a way of stealing our heart. God knows you. He sees you right now. He knows what you're facing. He's walking with you or wants to walk with you. He knows exactly where you're at. And there's another thing that he tells us. Apart from having a good theology, is not just being reminded about how big God is, right? And how personal he is, but also look at it, verse 28. Have you not known him? Have you not heard him? He is reminding us. For most of us, the issue of walking in truth is not about learning new things. I mean, all of us like new truth, and all of us like truth, and we like to learn new things and like to grow in that. But you know what? And that's good to do, and I exhort and encourage all of us to be expanding our knowledge and our understanding. But the issue is walking in that which we already know. Because here's the reality, most of us know more truth than we're living. Just look at your neighbor and say, hey, he's talking about you. Right? I mean, is that not true? I mean, we know more truth than we're living. And it's good for us to be reminded. Verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. There is something about knowing how big God is and the complexity of his person. I mean, just thinking about God orchestrating the universe, you realize, man, he is awesome. I mean, why is this so important? This is a reminder to us that he is so far above us. There are many things that he understands that we will never, ever comprehend. This is big because we live in this Western culture that wants to understand everything. And reason is so enlarged in our society and our culture. I mean, we believe this. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is all-loving. Amen, right? We believe that. But people will come back, or maybe you've even had this thought, okay, so if God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving, why does stuff happen? Why is evil so prevalent? Why is pain so deep? Why do kids suffer? Why is there hunger? Why is there famine? Why, right? I mean, we've all asked those questions or have been asked those questions. I mean, we were just talking about it in Sunday school this morning. And our line of reasoning, our sense says this, if it doesn't make sense to me, if I can't understand it, if I can't bring it full circle, there must not be a God. And if there is a God, certainly he's not all-powerful, certainly he's not all-loving, certainly he's not all-knowing if this is what's going on. And you know what the problem with that reasoning is? It's missing something. And it's this. There's really three lines to that. First is that there is a God who's all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful. There are problems that I can't understand. There are things going on in the world that I don't get. But the thing that's left out is this. Just because I can't understand them doesn't mean that there isn't really a really, really good reason. See, with the age of enlightenment, are you tracking with me? Because I'm kind of going places where we don't normally go. Are you tracking with me? Or did you go catapult? Or are you ready to catapult me, maybe? All right. But with the age of enlightenment, all right, man began to assume that there is a reason and an explanation for everything. And it elevated man to a level of God, to being a God. And it reduced God to a level where man can understand him. And you know what that will do? That will rob you of stillness of heart. There must be a reason, people say. And if I can't understand it, if I can't explain it, it's not true. So there's this quandary. I mean, how much do you know? I mean, look around the room, right? There are some sharp people in this room. I mean, there are some bright people, right? And if that screen portrayed all the knowledge that you could know, all the vastness of what was available to you, how much of everything would you know? Could we slice off like an eighth of an inch of a bottom corner? Are you there? Because I'm not there. I look around at like really smart people and go, you scare me. How much do you know? How much of known space do you know and do you understand? And then throw how much of unknown space do you in there, and then it gets really messy, doesn't it? See, here's the deal. Here's the application. I mean, in Scripture, the story of Job, the account of Job in the Old Testament, he loses his health, he loses his wealth, he loses his family. Life is a mess for him. He's hanging on to his faith, and he says, all I want to do is to have a powwow with God. I just want to have a sit down, and I want to ask God some questions. And so says, God says, all right, chapters 40 and 41, God says, all right, let's do this. And more or less, if I could summarize, it ends it with this: Job, you can't fully understand the complexities of the natural world. How in the world are you going to understand the complexities of the supernatural world? The fact is, God is God, and we are not. A God who is able to spin the world, the universe into existence, has the capacity to keep it all flowing and going. The reality is, there are just some things you won't ever know. And you got to be all right with that. What we don't know, we trust him by faith. Knowing that someday we will fully know, even as we are known, Scripture says. Someday you may understand it. Someday it may become clear to you. Someday you will look at it and see God's great plan. I mean, that's even happened to you already, right? I mean, you were going through a situation in life and you're like, why in the world is this going on? I hate this. This hurts, or whatever the scenario is, and you walk away from it. God brings you through it, and you look back a week later or a month later or 10 years later and you go, oh, I understand now. Doesn't mean I'd sign up for it again. Doesn't mean I like it. But now I see God was working and doing things through that. Someday you'll see the tapestry of his grace and his workings in your life, and it'll become clear. In the meantime, we accept it by faith, because you aren't always going to have an answer. I mean, the reality is sometimes the greatest answer that you can give somebody that has questions is, I don't know. But I'll walk with you. If you have to figure everything out, if you are the type of person who says, once I figure it out, then you will never have a faith that allows you to have a heart that can be still. Why do you say that, Steve? That kind of sounds mean. Because here's the deal. Because there are some things that you can't understand in this life, which is another indicator of our need for God, right? He knows what we do not. He's greater. He is loving. He has lovingly chosen to engage us in his creation, in his salvation, and someday he will lovingly show us all that we're lacking in knowing. But in the meantime, what do? We rest in him. Are you okay with that? Trusting him, being still before him in life and circumstances because he's greater. Now listen, Paul says it this way in Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, right? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What in the world does that mean? You know what it means? It means this, that there is a peace more valuable than understanding. That peace, if I can submit to you, is better than understanding. Listen, in your life, do you want peace or do you want understanding? Can I suggest to you that peace is the greater of the two? Right? I mean, you go through a difficult time. You walk through a season where you lost a loved one, or you lost a family member, or you lost a good friend, and you understand what happened to them, but that doesn't give you hope. But peace gives you hope. It's the stillness of heart. It's hearing God speak in those moments. I'm with you. We're in this together. It's awesome. Verse 29. It tells us another thing. If you're weak, and who in here hasn't been there, right? What does God do for those? How can you have stillness in those times of weakness? Look at it, verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. He gives power. Literally, the origin of the word is related to bone. So in other words, he gives durability. He gives stability. Durability to preserve, persevere. As you begin to comprehend who he is, that he cares for you, that he's with you, as you look to him and place yourself in his presence, he is a God who will give you strength. He is a God who will give you durability. There are some here this morning and you feel weak. Can I just speak to you that he is a God who gives you strength? Even at your weakest moment, he is a God who believes in you and has confidence in you and is walking with you. And your strength is not in yourself. Your strength is in him. And when you feel faithless, he is faithful. Verse 30, even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. I mean, everyone wears out, right? Even even the little toddler running around and into everything eventually, but Jan's like, she works at a nursery and she's like, dear Jesus, thank you. You know, you get a room full of toddlers going around like crazy. You're just like, man, Jesus, come quickly. But there's a moment where, bam, they're just out. They're like, 1 minute they're in the cupboard. The next second they're asleep in the cupboard, right? God understands that all of us get that way. And so what does he say? God wants to give us strength. And how do we experience that strength? We're still before him. We consider who he is. And next, that leads us to this next thought. When we respond in faith and receive his work in our lives, we embrace stillness. We receive stillness. Think who God is, believe that, and receive that. Look at what happens in verse 31. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I mean, that's a life verse of mine. It says wait, and you're like, oh, that means patience. I hate waiting. But literally, it means to bind together, to pull yourself together. The word wait does not suggest that we sit around doing nothing or, you know, twiddling our thumbs waiting for God to come through. It means to hope, to look to God for all that we need. This involves meditating on his character and on his promises, being in his presence, praying and seeking to glorify him. I mean, that's one of our core values is that of practical application of the Bible in our daily lives. Because in the presence, there's this peace. A quietness of heart is achieved by contemplating who God is and is getting a hold of ourselves and believing that God is going to be involved in our life. We anticipate the goodness of who our God is. And when that happens, when you anticipate the goodness of God in your life, you know what? You know what happens? What's it say? You renew your strength. So here's how it gets practical. It's in the perfect tense, by the way, which means to keep on renewing their strength. So do you know how to renew your strength in the Lord? You do so by constantly anticipating that God is so good, man, that God is so great, that God is at work in your life and in your situation. And even though you may not see it or feel it right now, that God is working and he's doing something, that nothing is too impossible for him. And so personal that he knows where you're at. The Lamentations said this in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Remember that song? I should say, let's sing it together, but you would catapult me for sure then. Let me ask you, what's your focus? Robert Murray McShay said this, for every one look at yourself, take 10 looks at Jesus. Move beyond, oh God, why is this happening to me? Oh God, poor me. Man, no one likes me. Everyone hates me. Must go eat some worms. God, this is miserable. I hate this. Instead, oh God, you are great. Oh God, if the worship team would come at this time. Oh God, you are mighty. God, I know that you're working in my life. I can't see this. I don't understand this. This is beyond my understanding, my reasoning. God, I've never seen our nation like this, but God, I know that you're in work. God, I know that you're doing something bigger and greater than my understanding and my ability to comprehend. God, I know that you're working and you're speaking not only in my life, but in other people's life and that you're orchestrating things. God, you are in control. God, I can't wait to see what this looks like. Amen? Instead of, oh God, oh, you know, God, I have this confidence, man, that you're working in this situation. God, that you're going to bring something good out of this. God, that you're going to redeem this thing because you're a God of redemption. God, that you're going to change people's heart. God, that you're going to restore this and you're making this marred thing, you're making this messy thing. God, you can redeem this situation. Proper theology of how awesome and what God is able to do is so important to the stillness of your heart. And then by faith, believing and speaking. See, a still heart is not an empty heart. It's a heart that's aware of his presence. And it's a heart that's drawn to his character and image working in and through us. Amen? Would you stand with me, church? God, thank you that you're God who speaks. You speak through your word. You speak through creation. You speak through others. I pray for that one here this morning. Maybe they've never heard you speak to them, but this morning they're hearing these words resonating in their heart and in their mind and their spirit, that I'm a God who loves you. I'm a God who has great things planned for you. I'm a God who wants to walk with you. I'm a God who has prepared something for you that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. It is good. It's a gift, and I want you to receive it. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you've never received salvation through him. See, the Bible is very clear that the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one of us in here that hasn't blown it, that hasn't lived a selfish life. There's not a one of us, man. We're all in need of salvation. We've all spilled paint on the white carpet, so to speak, and lived a life that's stained because of decisions we made, choices we made. We're guilty. And Jesus, God so loved the world, Scripture says, that he sent his one and only Son, that who would ever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, man, you know what? I've never taken the step to publicly profess. I've never, you know, taken a step of faith to say, Jesus, I want to follow hard after you. I want to live my life not for myself as I've been living it. It's stained. It's messy. I'm going to ask that you've come and forgive me of my sin, that I would receive eternal life. And listen, that eternal life is not just something clear off in the future, but it's for the here and now too. You have hope for eternal, the hope that God has prepared a place for you in heaven, but also God wants to interact with you today and walk with you. And so it's you inviting God to be your Lord and Savior and to walk with you. And you're here this morning, you've never done that, but you're saying, today is the day. Today is, Steve, would you pray for me? Today is the day that I want to do that. I want to make that decision to follow Jesus just as I am and trust him to work in my life and to remove the sin like he's able to do. I want to do that. Would you just slip up your hand if you're here this morning and say, Steve, would you pray for me? I want to follow after Jesus. I want to know him. See that hand, sir, on the back? Any others? And say, I want to know him. I've lived for myself. I've seen the pain of sin in my own life and by those that are around me. And I need to walk with him. I want to walk free of the burden of sin. Anyone else? Okay. Father God, you know us. You know right where we're at. God, I pray for this gentleman. God, that today is saying, I want to follow Jesus. I want to know his grace and his forgiveness. I want to ask him to be my Lord and Savior. And Father, if there's any others in this place that are wanting to make that decision, God, I pray that just simply and honestly they would do that. Lord, I realize that you are big and that you are able to save and redeem and cleanse me of my sin, cleanse me, as Scripture says, of my unrighteousness, my failings. Because of Jesus Christ, that he came and he bore my sins on the cross, and he died, and 3 days later he rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, sitting at the right hand of the Father now. God, may we know the joy of our salvation, and we acknowledge you and our need for you before man, knowing that you'll acknowledge us, Jesus, before the Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for this gentleman who's acknowledged where he's at and what he desires and what he needs. God, meet him. Speak to his heart. And Lord, as a church, we just celebrate with him. We celebrate his decision to follow hard after you, Father God. We celebrate his decision to say, I want to follow Jesus. I don't want to do it like I did it. I want to do it how he wants me to do it. And he wants me to have relationship with him, Father. We celebrate that. We thank you for that, Lord. And God, for the rest of us, just in this holy, quiet moment before we transition and we go through our day, God, we just need to enlarge you over our situations and our predicaments in life. We need to just have a proper theology of you. And God, as we lift up your name in worship, as we lift you up in worship, God, I pray just that there would just be a stillness of heart that would come over every individual here. There would just be this quiet confidence, God, that you would renew our strength. And God, that we would step boldly into what you have for us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I invite you, if you just, you know, sometimes it's just good to position yourself in a way before the Lord that you're not familiar positioning yourself. Sometimes it's good just to kneel before him, prayer. And as we enter into this worship, you know, we're stepping into the presence of God through worship here in a moment. Sometimes it's just good to take a knee. Say, God, I realize, I acknowledge you are bigger than me. And I kneel before you like you're standing under the canopy of heaven saying, God, man, you are big, but you care and you're good. Amen? Let's worship him.
Everybody dance. Everybody.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.